Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here, and hope you're having a great, great day today. Joining me that helped me have great days, a lot of great days, Dr. Sherry Keffer and Mylon Yurkovich. Hi, guys.
Hey, you too. So great to see you both today.
And it is great to be with both of you.
Now, Mylon, I don't know if you're still dressing up for Halloween, but I can almost guarantee you that Sherry and Kyle already have their costumes. Is that true?
This is the challenge. I have six huge U-Haul boxes full of costumes.
Oh, my goodness.
Question is not, am I? It's, what am I going to wear? Because I do love to have fun and dress up. And so we usually go to a party or a dance or something where we get to just have fun with everybody and be silly and feel like kids for a night.
Yeah. Fun.
Yeah. How about you guys?
I'm going as Batman.
Steve-man.
I've got the costume with all the ripply muscles on the front, and I'll be going around telling people that they actually have costumes where the muscles fake. But anyway, we're doing that. Solomon's going to be an 8-foot kangaroo, and he's the baby in the pouch. Amelia is a queen,
wow.
And my
the
wife.
The queen has come. I could see Amelia being a queen.
And my wife is
so
a spider.
What's she going to be?
A spider.
Mm-hmm. Spider.
Yeah. Pretty exciting.
Nice.
So we have a lot of fun.
Do you want to hear what I'm going to be?
Yes, I do.
We do.
Okay. I have a bumblebee suit that Kelly wore in the sixth grade.
Oh, my God.
You're going to get into
an
outfit.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Bumblebee.
So I put on my biking shorts, which are black, okay? Uh-huh. And then I pull this bumblebee suit over my body, and it's got the little wings out of the back, and it's got a little cap that goes on with little feelers on top. And I put on sunglasses, so I have the black look. And then I took a funnel that you put transmission fluid in with in the car, the big long black funnel, and I strapped that on. And so I had
a stinger
out the back.
Nice.
It was horrible because I almost poked kids in the eye, in Ladera Ranch. It was really dangerous. I had to hold my stinger up all the time, so otherwise I was going to hurt the children. Anyhow,
it's a bad picture.
And somebody walked by and said, I think I just saw Mylon Yurkovich dress up like a bee.
Oh, that is so funny. I love
it. This is out in public. Yeah. I mean, this is hilarious. Yeah. I'll send you the pics.
Please send us the pics. Hey, maybe we can post them on New Life, right?
You ought to see me.
I have a classic picture of me dressed up as a clown. I mean, I went to Goodwill and got everything they had. And there's a photo of the kids with these big grins and smiles and laughing. 0.5 seconds after that photo, both of my kids
burst
into tears. They were terrified of me. I had to take the clown makeup off. It was so funny. But anyway.
Do you know how many people are afraid of clowns and they don't like clowns?
Well,
Solomon knows what that's called. I forgot the name of it, but there is a term for fear of clowns. Clown fear,
clownophobia.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to be up there.
Bozophobia.
In Milpitas, 7 p.m. November the 10th, Christ Community Church. Jill, Chris, myself, we're going to come. We got prizes. We're going to tape a show. We're going to do some talks. And we're going to connect with you. And I hope you'll come. KFAX is such a great
station.
Wonderful station. If you need the facts, they've got it. Okay? Okay. So you come join us for that. And then also, a gift of any amount. Let me just remind you, this stops in October. The late Dr. Brenda Hunter, last book she wrote, Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. This could really help you if you have someone in your family. It's part of that wellness series. We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back with two of the best minds I know, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Mylon Yurkovich, and your phone calls. We're glad you're with us today here on New Life.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we are back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer. We're going to go right back to the phone. Oh, Sherry, the name of Fear of Clown.
I looked it up. It's coulrophobia. And the word coulro actually comes from the Greek prefix, meaning one who is on stilts. So
okay.
I guess clowns back in those days wore stilts or, you know, were on top of stilts. They kind of were big and tall. You could do stilts. You could be a bee clown. You don't even need stilts.
They altered their appearance.
They did.
Yeah.
I could see why that would scare children.
Yeah.
All right. Dave from Whittier, California has been holding for quite some time. KKLA is the station. Dave, thanks for holding. How can we help you today?
Thank you for taking my call. I had a question about Asperger's. I believe that's my brother is 63 and I'm 75, and he's living on his own. He's lost everything. He lives in Northern California out of his automobile, and I'm trying to, I guess part of this is boundaries and defining further information on what I believe he has as Asperger's, because it's been very hard for him to maintain employment. And I forced him into going to see a counselor in Northern California, and it turns out the counselor's son was Asperger's, but she was not licensed to certify my brother. And I'm trying to figure out, maybe you might have some suggestions and how we, I just don't feel comfortable about cutting him off. So
It's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard.
You want the best for him.
Yes, I do.
What do you think, Sherry?
Well, there's a group called NAMI, and it's the National Association for Mental Illness. It's going to be a step above what you had with this counselor that I guess didn't have the right certification. They deal with families and family members that have situations like your brother that they end up on the street or they end up without the appropriate care. So I want you to look them up. I think it's NAMI.org or NAMI.com, one of those. But the hard part is knowing what to do with him, because he's probably not in the safest place, right, being in a car. And it may be. Are you the only two siblings that are living, or do you have other brothers and sisters?
No, we have a sister, and she's more or less bowed out of the situation. She felt like she did things early in his departure from home, and she doesn't feel obligated at this time to help.
Well, know what? I got to be honest. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Because when you don't have parents that are living anymore and you have a sibling that's on the street, it's a time that you have to ante up. And it may not look like him living with any one of you, but you do have a responsibility to work together to get him into a safe place. And it's at least worth trying. You cannot just, I mean, I get it. I have severe mental illness in my family. And, you know, as siblings, my family is disconnected. And so these kind of conversations are not easy and things don't go smoothly. But when it comes right down to it, we have to face the inevitable is we just can't leave somebody who's mentally ill on the street. It might mean that we have to financially step up, right, and do some things that are uncomfortable. But there are places for your brother. We're talking about Asperger's. We're not talking about something that, he hasn't threatened anyone's life. He's just having a hard time thriving himself.
And it's that age-old right. question, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is yes. We need to take care of those who need us. I think Sherry's right on there. And the question is, trying to motivate some folks that are resistant to do that. Mylon, any thoughts here?
Dave, I had an older disabled sister, and fortunately my parents worked to make sure that she was in a lifetime track of help and support. She actually lived in a group home. She was a part of the county regional care center. And so I was the older responsible, I was the younger responsible brother after my parents died to take care of her and help to manage her situation. And may I say, it is a weight, it is a burden, it's a responsibility. And it's something, though, that I agree, Sherry and Steve, that it's something we have to, this is something that was plopped into my lap. It is not something I voted for, but because we were related and because I cared what happened to her, the responsibility was on me to make sure the best for her was carried out. And I would do all the research you can to find out what your options are. There's not a ton of them, but I would check with, as Sherry said, NAMI, because they see everything. And if you can get support, I mean, for him to be living in his car at 63 years old in Northern California, you just go, there's got to be something better for him. And and then you mentioned cutting him off. So at some level, I'm wondering why you would cut him off. Is he causing you difficulties or problems, or what is it? Is he dependent upon you? What's happening?
Well, apparently he can. He's functional enough to get some jobs, but this has all happened since he lost his house in 2012, and he's gone downhill. And he was at a friend's place up there, and he inadvertently burned down his friend's fifth wheeler. So, and then he's lost all his, IDs, so I've tried to reestablish that. But it's been going on for over 13 years. But the history of this is back when he was a young child. He's 12 years younger than I am. And my mother insisted he was normal. And it seems like as soon as he hit kindergarten, it may have been the inoculations. You've probably heard a lot of people say the inoculations can cause these problems. Of course, it's before they had these big multiple batches of inoculations for your children, but he changed his personality when he went to kindergarten. Yet my mother insisted he was normal, and so he's got this mindset that he's completely normal, and he has worked. He has done that in the past, but he just cannot keep work. And he's got very well-defined ideas what is right and what is not right. And whether you agree with that or not, that, he's made his mind up.
Yeah. No, I get it.
He's very smart about certain things. So he's not completely handicapped in that sense of the word. And I've checked with the state, apparently, I think there's certain issues that he does not qualify for for state aid in California.
Right.
But yeah, we tried to get him on. We're trying to get him on to Social Security disability.
Sure.
But they have some sort of requirement that they say that he cannot work at all, and so he's stumbling on that because he feels like he can do some work.
The problem is sustaining the relationships in the workplace that are required to keep a job. He he just probably isn't able to develop a relationship, keep a relationship. He finally hits his limit. He thinks something isn't right. He complains, whatever. And that's the dilemma. It's the sustaining of anything that would be good and wonderful for him. I really feel for this guy.
Yeah, I agree with you because you hit it on the head there because he had a job with the state, mind you that. Usually you can't lose a job with the state unless you commit some atrocious crime or something.
Right.
But he refused to do a certain process because for the payroll up there, because he claimed they wanted him to, I guess, round up the figures, and to him that was the wrong thing to do.
So
he lost his job, you know, job in that situation too.
So, Dave, this is a dilemma, which is there's not good choices in either direction. But I love your responsibility. I love your asking questions. I love your trying. And at some level, if he is as functional as you say he is, then at some level, if he refuses to do what people say, then there's nothing sometimes you can do. You know, you can't go corral him and take him. You just have to let him be what he's going to be. And sometimes that's a very unpleasant thing to watch. But I think sometimes you have to just back away and let things happen.
Well, I have spoken. You're in Whittier. I have spoken at the in L.A. at the NAMI there, and they've got a ton of free services for family members.
Yeah,
so that's like 30 minutes from your house.
Yep.
I would look that up, go over, and go to some of those classes and see if you can get some assistance and support for you to get some direction.
And you know, here's what I would say, and I think you're really doing this. You kind of, in this am I my brother's keeper concept, you have a responsibility, but it's a responsibility to do whatever you could, but that doesn't mean it's going to produce a result that's any better. But you need to be able to walk away and say, and just like you're calling us, I mean, you called us. You're doing everything you can. You want to try to get others to help too. Then, if he doesn't respond to any of that, at least you can say to yourself, man, we did everything.
Did our best.
We didn't just say, oh, well, you know, let him go, let him fall, whatever. You did the best you could, and I'm glad he's got you there.
Yep.
And don't ever forget the amazing power of prayer. Sometimes that is the only thing that changes the course there. Really, really glad that he has you there. And so... Let me send you a copy of Mylan Kay's book, How We Love. I think it's going to help you understand everybody in your family and how you got there. And, oh, my goodness, I hope and pray that this wasn't a result of some kind of inoculation or something like that. All right, let's go to Kevin, Fairmont, West Virginia, it is. Hey there, how are you? What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Good. How can we help you?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. My question is, I just recently got out of a 2.5-year relationship. The girl and I were both strong Christians, and I don't know that if I handled it correctly. There were some things that I did and things that she did, and I just kind of want some answers as to if I made the right choices, and if not, should I try to pursue this relationship?
Okay, so why did you guys break up?
Well, it was a number of things. I've been in the military for 22 years, and as a result of that, I've already vested a retirement. And prior to her going to marriage counseling, an attorney told me that for my own interest and for her own interest, that I should ask for a prenuptial agreement. So she has some assets. She has a young son. And I'm a single man. I've been single for a long time, and I've never been married. So I did mention to her a prenuptial agreement. So that's one thing that I did. Another thing was she didn't like the idea of me being in the military because of the deployments and the, you know, time away from her. She also didn't like that my parents live about 3 hours from where her and I live, and her and I both live near each other, but... my parents are about 3 hours away. I would go visit my parents once a month. And finally, the thing that I did that she wasn't happy with was I'm a personal trainer, a group trainer, and I've worked in exercise prescription for almost 10 years now. That's what I studied in college. And she thought that it was dishonoring to her to work with the opposite sex. So basically what it come down to is she didn't like the idea of me doing any type of training around other females. She didn't like the idea of me being away from her in the military and not around, and me visiting my parents in the prenuptial agreement. And
okay, so you're wanting to go back with her? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I'm wondering if it was a mistake on my part to, you know, do the things that I did, like the prenup, and to, you know, do the exercise, or if this was more of an insecurity in her that was something that was that I couldn't correct, or if this is something that, you know, is beyond my control, or if, you know, it's something that I can try to work out with her. She was a great girl. Her and I got along great for the first year and a half, but then I went on a deployment, and that's when things started to get bad, and these things came up.
All right.
And you're how old, Kevin? Just so we can think. How old are you?
40.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. We are going to be right back here. Relationships are tough, huh? We'll try to give you some insight into this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of you know, what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we're back. Talking to Kevin from West Virginia. WVBL is that station. And Kevin, you still there, buddy?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So, didn't hear a lot of good stuff about this relationship. And just me personally, it's kind of hard for me to see how you could be who you want to be and her be okay with any of that, whether it's military, training, all of those kinds of things. And, yeah. So when you responded to her concerns, did you let her know you cared about it, or were you angry or rejecting, or how did you handle that when she'd bring these things up?
At first, I was just, it was a surprise to me because she had worked personally with one of her coworkers who's the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, okay, I thought that we had talked about boundaries. So I didn't get angry with her. I just responded that I was somewhat surprised that we had spoken about boundaries. But after she explained to me that she wasn't comfortable with that, I said, okay, you realize that I've had ethics class and, you know, ethics classes, and that I realized the dangers of training the opposite sex, and we were taught to not engage in personal life. And she said, yeah, but that's still outside of, you know, our boundaries. And I said, well, I want you to realize that this is a professional, you know, job for me. And I, you know, I don't do this for the idea of dating someone. I said, I'm in love with you. I said, you're the woman that I want to be with. The training is just an extra source of income. It's something that my main job has asked me to do on the side as a volunteer thing. So I explained to her that, you know, I had no intention to date someone else, that I'm even not supposed to be alone with someone based on the legality of it, that if I'm alone with someone and something were to happen, if there's another person, they can witness that I didn't do anything wrong.
Okay.
So I tried to explain all that to her and told her I care about her, basically.
Okay. Well, let's see what Mylan and Dr. Keffer think might be a perspective that would be helpful to you.
Well, I'm wondering what a young man like you would do trying to be deployed around a relationship of a woman who is trying to control you. I mean, you understand deployment, but you're circling back around this place that's been treacherous and of somebody that's trying to control who you are. And she's got to be emotionally seductive for you to want to go back there. Is that true?
That could be. I really don't know how. I'm not quite sure I know if I'm emotionally seductive.
No, she is. She, yeah, emotionally seduced. Were you guys having sex?
Were we having what?
Sex.
No, did you say, no, you said sex, I think. No, we didn't. The 2.5 years we dated, we did not engage in sex. We knew that was not good. God didn't want that, and we wanted to save that for marriage.
So why are you going back? I want you to put your deployment hat on, and I want you to imagine going into some type of military territory where when you go there, you have got to give up who you are. They are going to take control of you. How would that make you feel?
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. And that's a normal feeling. That's actually a good feeling. Like they'd rip off your dog tags. They wouldn't trust your service. They wouldn't trust your nobility. They would want to control you and captivate you and put you in some type of a prison camp. So uncomfortable would be a healthy feeling. What in you keeps wanting to go back to that?
I guess I just look at the positives in the relationship and think that I had more positives than there were negatives.
But those negatives, my friend, are big. She is not okay with you serving and being deployed. She is not okay with you seeing your parents once a month. She is not okay with you having your job, which happens to be in an industry where you're working at a club. I mean, okay, the prenup is something that is going to have to be negotiated, and there's reasons for prenups. And so maybe she might be comfortable and uncomfortable with that, but we're talking these other threes are about who you are and the people you love and what you do for a living. It's a lot of you. And yet you want to go back. You want to go back, and what is the it factor that makes you want to go back?
It was the fact that she had a heart for God, and I enjoyed that partnership.
Okay.
And I miss that.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You don't like being alone. It's hard to be 40 and alone. But I'll tell you something, you could be married to someone like that and alone. Because then you're having to give up everything that you are, and then you really feel trapped. There's a lot of young ladies out there that would love being with a man who would honor their sexuality for 2.5 years.
No kidding.
There would be a lot of women that would honor what you want to do and how you serve, and that would be happy to go with you to your family. It might not be her, But there might be others that would be good women that you would be crazy about, be attracted to. But you got to let her go before you can say yes to someone else.
It just seems like we all agree there's more liability here than healthy, good stuff. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.NewLife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. And any final word? I'm going to send him. Is this the one? I think it can really, really help him. But any final thoughts here, you guys?
Well, we were just talking at the break off the air. And in fact, a prenuptial deployment, going to your parents' house, and being a trainer in a mixed sexual group, those are all things that separate you and threaten separation or create literal separation. And so we could say your former girlfriend has a high separation sensitivity. She's sensitive. So what she wants to do, Kevin, is she wants to pull you in tighter and hold you tighter. And that's always dangerous when people want to squeeze too hard.
Yeah. And I would just say this, being 40 and not having been married and being ex-military or still doing military deployment, things like that, you need flexibility. Because you've got some things that are set, and doesn't make you a bad guy. You're just going to have some things that you do, and I just think you need somebody that's really flexible and understanding. So is this the one that's coming your way? And I hope that something we've said is helpful here and that it's insightful here. All right, we're going to go to the next call, and it is a call with Shelly from Seattle, Washington, KGNW. Hi, Shelly. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a unique situation, and I am dealing with a spouse that is delusional. It's clear to me. We've been married about 11 years, and he thinks that I've had incest about 10 years ago. I cannot convince him otherwise. We're in counseling, and it's like there's this really weird block that he won't believe me. He had said he had evidence, which is completely false, admitted that he didn't have that in counseling, but still will not release the fact that it didn't happen. I married this person believing that His first wife divorced him because of this. This happened in his first marriage.
Mm.
And he came to my church, man of God, charismatic, wonderful. Everybody, you know, thinks he's wonderful and still does. I am dealing with this private, secret, horrible thing. He doesn't run around accusing me, but I know that he thinks this because I've brought it up every once in a while. When I do, it turns into a terrible fight. Other than that, there's harmony and peace. Something's very, very wrong, and I got very depressed over this recently. God lifted me up. I'm still walking in it. Don't know what to do at this point. Again, we're in counseling. They think that it's due to incest in his own childhood, but I don't know if we're ever going to get that far because he is very difficult to get to counseling most of the time.
Okay, so what's the question for us? How could we help you with tough?
What would you do? What would you do if you were in my my circumstance at this point? What do you do with a delusional spouse? What do you do when you're living in a? It's kind of a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you guys think? I mean, they're seeing a counselor.
It's a very weird, weird situation.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to change delusional for just not that I'm not seeing him, so I don't want to diagnose him, right? Can't diagnose him. But I might add a different word, which is dissociated spouse.
Okay. Uh-huh.
It's dissociation. When you think about what's leaking out, he couldn't work through this with his first wife. And it's the same story.
Right.
Different wife. So I'm actually kind of in the camp that your therapist is saying they think it's from an early sexual abuse situation. And it's kind of like ding, ding, ding. The bells and whistles are all going off, but he's the last one to the party. But I don't know that that's delusional. I would say it's more dissociated. And so there are some people that work with dissociated memories to help bring that to light, but he's got to be a willing participant. And it may mean that you guys have been married 11 years. If he's unwilling to go, you may have to make that a requirement.
Right, I have.
Okay, and what did you ask? How did you ask for him to go get some deep, serious sexual abuse trauma with someone that's like, you know, does trauma, like an EMDR person that is trained? EMDR is a type of treatment in order to get into the PTSD of early traumas that are dissociated.
Okay.
So you ask her... You ask her a question, Sherry, but explain to her and the listening audience what the dissociated husband would be as compared to the delusional husband.
So, well, a delusional would be someone that is not oriented in space and time.
Mm-hmm.
And he sounds like he can do space and time. There's just this one issue that he circles around.
Right.
So some people have something called disassociated, meaning that they have a memory that is so far down in their hidden heart, they don't remember it and it's not leaking out. So nobody knows about it. It's disassociated. Then there's dissociation, which is one step lighter, which means it's somehow leaking out in your life. They just haven't connected the dot yet, thoughtfully and emotionally, but it's leaking out in your marriage.
Another part of him who was traumatized still hasn't come out into the clear present.
Yeah, there's like there's a little boy in there,
right?
A younger boy who's terrified of you because the idea of you, it's not you, it's somebody in his past sexually harmed him, and it could have been a mom.
He does remember something with his dad, and so it's like if he's aware of that, then why does he have to inflict this stuff on me or his ex-wife? You know, it would be okay to remember that and then go get help. but I'm dealing with, you know, this is a member of my family, so we have, but the other weird thing is he says, he's always said, I'm willing to forgive you. We can just forget it and move on.
But
and
you,
I'm saying, this you, is too big to just forget.
Well, but he doesn't forget it. The problem is he can't forget it.
Because he never thinks about it.
Well, that's the problem. He doesn't think about it, but he projects it on you. Do you know what it would mean for him emotionally to actually go there and dig into that possible sexual molestation that may have happened with his dad? Do you know that would totally disrupt his whole world? It's a
sure,
lot.
That's what he doesn't want to happen.
Of course. Folks that have been really wounded. That's mm-hmm. like going back to the crime scene. They don't want to walk through it.
Right. But it's ruining mine because he's
right.
He's
see,
in the
and that's okay.
And I can't do this with him anymore.
Okay.
So, but here's the thing. You're wanting him just to say, hey, okay, I need to deal with this so that I don't mm-hmm. inflict this on you. That's kind of a logical approach to this. But
yeah.
this is so hurtful and threatening mm-hmm. to him that he can't make a logical decision about this. So what's the answer? He mm-hmm. has to enter into some pretty difficult and hopeful help from somebody that can dig this and dig through it and help him resolve it mm-hmm. inside of himself. Then you won't have to. But outside of that, it's just going to continue to hurt him.
Steve is right. He may even be a candidate for inpatient. He might not be able to unravel outpatient.
Mm-hmm.
He might be somebody that needs to go into inpatient for 45, 60, 90 days in order to...
Oh, my word.
My word is right. But nothing else has touched it. Right? Nothing else has touched it.
Shelley, you are suggesting that, well, why can't he logically... process this. Mm-hmm. And the problem mm-hmm. is that traumatized children don't logically process things. They're traumatized mm-hmm. and it's stuck over in a portion of the brain that's not necessarily logical or rational. There is something mm-hmm. hiding and it leaks out and it hit his previous wife and it hit you. Now, if the mm-hmm. I'm gonna say something pretty radical here.
Go ahead.
What if you and his ex-wife had a mm-hmm. meeting with him?
Yeah,
I thought that was an interesting idea.
Well,
I do think that could be enough evidence to say
well, the
to
point
to
is how do you convince him that something's really wrong here? And there's two people that at least at a certain point in time loved him.
Yeah.
And for them to join forces and just say, we care about you, and to provide an intervention that says, we really want to see something positive happen here, and we need to do something differently. So... Yes,
you know, didn't she say he was in ministry?
No, she just said that he was a part of a church and well received and so on.
Charismatic and you know, it's one of those situations that you just can't get delivered from. You've got to go in and do some deep work.
Yep. Yep.
All right. We'll be right back.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Shelly's back. Hey, Shelly, are you there?
Yes, I am. We got disconnected.
You know, we just really feel bad for you because, you know, it'd just be so great for us to say, hey, do these two things. He should respond like this, yeah. And everything's going to be great. But it's just not one of those situations, and there is no quick fix, no instant solution here. Sherry, Mylon, you want to just finish anything you could say to encourage her? Or
well, I think Shelley, I think Sherry was right on by suggesting mm-hmm. that who's talking when your husband is projecting this on you? Who's talking right then? And odds are it's a very small part, the little boy inside of him. If you
because he reacts violently. Mm-hmm.
Yep. What's that?
He reacts emotionally violently when we start going here.
I know. And so somehow that has to be contained. What I was suggesting is perhaps that you and his previous wife, if you were to come together as mm-hmm. a team and say to him, we both see the same thing. We're asking you to get help mm-hmm. and to even have a professional interventionist there that could help or someone that could help enable a step that might help him. But it could take, you're asking, how do we create an intervention that will get his attention? And that's a pretty radical one that I'm suggesting. He's not expecting the two of you to be in the same room.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're a perpetrator when you're not the perpetrator. I'm glad you have reality in your mind, but he sees you as that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that might work or that might make him feel like there's two of you in the room. I don't know. But you really do need to go on and look at treatment centers that deal with trauma. Check out EMDRIA.org and then check out treatment centers like the Meadow or others that really work with the deep trauma and have EMDR there. Uh-huh. And see if you can get them in somewhere.
Yeah, the Meadows is in Arizona.
Yeah, the Meadows is in Arizona. Mm-hmm.
And just one final little note here. Sometimes when you have a situation like this, you've been furious at him. Your anger has been appropriate. And, you know, sometimes if you and this ex were to meet, you might start by saying, you know what, I want to tell you, I'm really sorry the way I've responded to this because, you know, I've been angry. I've been full of rage and things like that. But I've come to understand something. This isn't about you being a bad guy or mean guy or whatever. We really want you to be free of all of that stuff inside of you that's causing you to do things I know you're not proud of when you get so violently angry. We want to help you with that, and we want to encourage you with that. And if you can have some authority figure, a minister with you, somebody that, you know, a therapist, or if the treatment center that you are looking at has an interventionist who knows how to deal with these impossible situations or seemingly impossible situations, that can be very, very helpful.
You know, anyway, I just have to say one more thing to both Steve and Sherry and Shelley, that this amazing, attractive guy that walked into church and everybody loves him.
Right.
That's the false self.
Yes.
That's the false self. That's not the real self. The real self is what Shelley is encountering at home.
Yeah.
And we all need to be aware that we can have a false self. that what we project in publicly often is something we so desperately want to believe ourselves, about ourselves and about who we are. But honesty and truth is where God does his work.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, because the whole book is all about getting rid of the false self and stop living a reactional life,
mm-hmm.
so that you can start responding to what God has for you. So I'm going to send that to you and hope that that's
Don't we have empathy for Shelley here? I mean, this would be so hard.
Very tough.
Yeah. And, you know, I bet there are 1,000 people that have said things like, hey, why don't you just do this? Or why don't you, you know, and nothing like that. I mean, you really have to have a professional level of help that very few people need. That's the bad news here. But the good news is it's available. You have to find it, though. All right. Well, as we close out the program, I want to mention we're coming to the KFAX area, Northern California, and we're going to be at Christ Community Church in Milpitas. That's 7 p.m., November the 10th. Would love for you to come. Also, Every Man's Battle is November the 3rd in Orange County. You want to give your family the Christmas gift of a lifetime? Want to spend Thanksgiving grateful that you're no longer being a dirty little boy looking at dirty little pictures, but instead you're a man with integrity and credibility? Oh, what a gift to yourself. Restore is for a woman's heart. That's November 10th. And Living Light is January the 26th. And that is our fantastic time to help you to get together with some other folks who struggle with their weight and experience God's light. You know, God, His light will fill you, will take care of all those little dark corners. You will be like a radiant light to the world. But first, you have to get God's word in you and live it for it to happen. Those are the kind of things we deal with rather than what's the latest diet to be on. I'm going to be preaching on November the 25th at Northview Church here in Carmel. Would love for you to come, 25th and 26th, on Thanksgiving. That's what I'm going to be talking about. And then, finally, you're laughing at my sermon title?
You have so all these catchy titles and things.
I work so hard on that.
It's not Thanksgiving, it's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, because, you know, it's one thing to be grateful. It's another thing to actually do something about it and live like you're thankful. Well, no need to hear my sermon. I just gave it. All right, Proverbs 15:22 is this. Plans fail for the lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. How many of us, me, have spent years without good counsel and just failure after failure? Then somebody comes along who can help. Well, if you need help, we've got a phone number. It's really simple, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And I tell you, people call, they think there's no help, it's hopeless, there's no way, and they end up discovering hope and healing.
It's so reminiscent of our call with Shelley, right? Mm-hmm. And there was some new counsel she got today. Words like dissociation, you know, in-house treatment, post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, those are things that she didn't even have. We've gone from delusional to it's something else that could be treated. So
yeah.
It's amazing what people get just by making that call.
It's true. Well, I hope and pray that you'll get the help that you need. And we'd like to get you started in that direction. We have so many great resources. All you do, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And I don't know if you've ever felt like you just didn't want to do anything because you were afraid of what you'd have to do. We make it easy on you. And we're going to help you take the next little small step to do the next right thing that could change everything. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, we'll send you this great book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. It was the last book that Dr. Brenda Hunter ever wrote, and boy, did she ever do a great job. It's part of the Arterburn Wellness series, and I hope that you'll get a copy of it. It's our way of saying thank you for a gift of any amount. And you know, as we come to the end of the year, we sure do need your support. We need your help. So think about, pray about how you could help us do what we do for another year. We want to be here for you. And you know, there's nothing more grateful to us than or gratifying when we talk to somebody that they just didn't have a place to go. They didn't have counseling. They didn't have anybody. They called us And then we were able to find the thing that they didn't even know existed in their area. So if you need some help, don't struggle alone. We want to be there for you. And you just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And you know, one of the great things that I love is some of the best, biggest supporters of this ministry, all we did was find a counselor for them. We just said, hey, let us find somebody in your area. We'll do that for you. Call us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.